All right, today, as we start, we're going to start with something fun. I brought with me a list of laws. These are rules from around our country, from different states. Here we go. Okay, in Alabama, it's illegal to wear a fake mustache in church if it causes laughter. Can you imagine just sitting in a jail cell? Hey, what are you in for today? Well, you know, I did the mustache thing in church. Don't worry about it. In Connecticut, a pickle must bounce in order to be legally considered a pickle. Come on, how do they try that? Do they have like rooms where they test this out to make sure the pickle actually bounces? In Florida, it's illegal for you to sing in public if you're wearing a bathing suit. That's it right there. I guess I'm never moving to Florida. I don't know. In Ohio, okay, this is really funny. I like this one. In Ohio, it is illegal to try and make a fish drunk. Apparently, though, that's not a law here in Michigan. I don't know. In North Carolina, it's illegal for a bingo game to last more than 5 hours long. How does a bingo game last more than 20 minutes? 5 hours, yeah. Oh, okay, one more. In Texas, it's illegal to milk someone else's cow. You can't do it. You cannot milk someone else's cow in Texas. Okay, these are real laws. Like on the books, real laws, and they exist for a reason. I mean, at some point along the time of history, somebody got hurt or some property got damaged or somebody slammed their fist down on a table and said, we demand higher standards for our pickles. But for whatever reason, like these rules are there and they exist for a reason. And we look at them and they're laughable and they feel old, they feel archaic. We question why they're even there. But there are other rules that that exist for a good reason, right? Rules that we're glad that we have. I mean, we would all agree that stopping at a red light is a good rule. Not hurting other people, that's a good rule. It's a good law that we don't litter. We know that we have laws in place that are good laws, and we have them there for reasons that are helpful for the people around us. And when we open our Bibles, we see some laws in here too. I mean, even if you're not familiar with the Bible, you know that there's like the Big Ten, right? Like the Big Ten Commandments in the Bible. And you could probably even maybe recite or list at least a few of them. Like no other gods and no idols and don't misuse the name of God and keep the Sabbath holy. And then there's the honor your mom and dad and don't murder and don't sleep with someone that you're not married to and don't steal or lie or covet other people's things. Like these are the Big Ten. These are the Big Ten Commandments in our Bible. And the question that we're going to wrestle down today is this. Do they matter? Do they matter? Are they old laws? Are they archaic? Are they laughable? I mean, do they matter? And maybe there's a chance that not only do they matter, but they're life-giving. And they're from a God who cares deeply about us. So we're going to wrestle those down today. But before we get to the rules, I need to kind of point out where they are in our Bible. So if you have a Bible, table of contents right here, you can see in the table of contents there are two spots, actually, where you find the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. You'll read about them in Exodus, and then you'll also read the same list again in Deuteronomy. It's listed two different places. And the reason for that is in Exodus, it was this introduction about God. The people didn't know God. They didn't know who God was. They had just been rescued out of slavery, and it's this introduction. I need to tell you about who our God is, what he's like, what is his character, what is hardwired into the very nature of who our God is. Because they knew about other gods. They knew all about the Egyptian gods, and God needed to help them unlearn some of those things so that they could learn about who he is and what is important to him. So there's this introduction in Exodus. And then in Deuteronomy, it's 40 years later. And the people, the Israelites, they're about to enter into the promised land. And the promised land, it's described as this land flowing with milk and honey. Like it's a land of plenty. They're going to have enough food to eat there. They're going to have flocks and herds. And God says, when you go there and things are going really, really well for you, you need to remember who I am. I want you to remember what I'm all about. I want you to remember me. And so in Exodus, it's this introduction to who God is. And in Deuteronomy, it's this reminder about who God is. And I just wonder if you need one of those today. I just imagine here and on our campuses, there are dozens of people who just, you don't really know who God is. I mean, you got a lot of questions about who God is. You're not really sure what he cares about, what's important to him. And I hope today is an introduction to our God who loves you. And I also imagine there are dozens of you here and on our campuses who you would just say that your faith is kind of dusty. There's not a whole lot of life or joy or movement in your faith. And my hope for you today is that it's a reminder about how much our God loves you. It's an introduction and a reminder. And Moses is the one who brings these laws, brings these rules to the Israelites. And as he does, he makes three observations about these laws. And so we're just going to walk through each of those observations today in our conversation. And the first observation is this: you have been rescued first. Rescued first. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And so today in your character card, you have Moses. And this is the only week where we're using the same character for 2 weeks in a row. And it's because Moses, his life is just so expansive. And he's got so many stories attributed to him that we just couldn't fit it all into 1 week. And so we're taking 2 weeks to talk about this guy, Moses. And if you're here last week, you remember that we met Moses. He's this 80-year-old dude. He is approached by God. And God says to him, I want you to rescue my people. Listen, Moses, I have heard my people crying out to me. I have seen their suffering. I'm concerned about them. And I have come down to rescue them. And Moses, I need you to go and rescue them out of slavery from the Egyptians. And then he goes on and he tells Moses about everything that's going to happen. These plagues and miracles and wonders are going to happen in Egypt. And eventually the Pharaoh is going to let the Israelites go. He's going to let them free, but not for long. Because it doesn't take long for the Pharaoh to realize that if he lets his entire slave force go, his economy as he knows it is going to crumble. His way of life is going to evaporate. And so it doesn't take long for him to rally the entire Egyptian army and to chase after these Israelites that they just let go. And this is the part of the story where we get that the Red Sea. And it says that God parts the Red Sea. The Israelites, they walk through on dry ground. And then the Egyptian army comes chasing after them. The waters go back to normal and the Egyptians die. They drown. And now you're sitting on the beach. There's no more slavery. There's no more danger. And this guy, Moses, comes to you and he says, okay, now I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you about who this God is that just rescued you. But I want you to get into the mindset of a person there. I really want you to capture this. So do me a favor. Imagine you're a teenager and you're sitting on the beach. You have grown up in slavery. I mean, your dad has scars up and down his back from the torture that he's experienced. You can't remember a day where you just had enough food to eat. And then there was this guy, this old man, Moses. He comes and he says, like, all these wonders and miracles are going to happen. All these plagues are going to happen, and we're going to be free. And sure enough, one day he goes to Pharaoh and he says, flies are gonna blanket the city. And sure enough, the next day, flies come from everywhere. Heaps and heaps of flies. You can't be in Egypt and take in a breath of air without taking in a mouthful of flies. They're just everywhere. But not a single fly is coming by any of the Israelites. And then there was another time where Moses said to the Pharaoh, you're going to experience darkness, like for 3 days. And for 3 days, where you were, the sun came up, the sun set. Sun came up, sunset. Sun came up, the sunset. But it remained completely pitch black in Egypt. I mean, it was so dark, they couldn't even move around. They couldn't leave their houses because they couldn't see a thing. And then there was this whole thing with the sea. I mean, you are walking on dry ground, a wall of water on your left, a wall of water on your right. You're a teenager, but even you know that nothing like this has ever happened in the history of human life on earth. It's never happened before. And now you get to the other side. You're sitting on the beach with your family. And this guy Moses says, I'm going to tell you about God. You would be like on the edge of your seat. You would be all ears, eager. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Tell me. Tell me about who this God is. Tell me, what is he like? And Moses says, okay, lean in a little bit. Here, I'm gonna tell you. Here's the first thing that you need to know. This God has rescued you, and I don't ever want you to forget it. This guy has rescued you. Never, ever forget that he's rescued you. There's something here in verse 2 that I want you to notice. Something I want you to pay attention to, and it's this. Are you ready? Rescue comes before the rules. The rescue came before the rules. We could just say it this way. You have been rescued first, rules second. Rescued first, rules second. Can you guys say it with me? You ready? Rescued first, rules second. The Israelites, they were enslaved in Egypt. And you and I, we were enslaved too, right? I mean, maybe for you, it was the secrets. Maybe it was the affair, or maybe it was the drinking, or the money thing. And you just knew that if anyone could peer inside here and really, really see who I am, they wouldn't love me, like me, or even want to talk to me. And you weren't enslaved by the Egyptians, but you have been enslaved by your shame and by your regret and by your past and your failures. And the grace of Jesus has rescued you from that. Or maybe for you, it's just on repeat, like over and over and over in your brain. Just that moment when you were hurt, where she hurt you or he picked them over you, and you just can't stop thinking about it. I mean, you think about it when you're driving to work. You think about it when you're laying in bed at night. You can't stop replaying it over and over in your mind, and it just bleeds resentment into every relationship you have. It robs you from any amount of peace that you could experience. And you weren't enslaved by the Egyptians, but you're enslaved by your bitterness and by your hurt. And the grace of Jesus has rescued you. Or maybe it was the more, you know, the next purchase, the next upgrade, the next vacation, this drive for more and more and more and more. And the more you get, the more empty you feel. And you just realize you weren't enslaved by the Egyptians, but you're enslaved by this desire for more. You're enslaved by your greed. And the grace of Jesus has rescued you. because you have been rescued first. Rescue comes before the rules. The first thing Moses wants the people to know is this. Hey, listen, here's the most important thing about the rules. The rules don't matter. The rules don't matter if you don't remember that you have been rescued first. And we see this pattern kind of all over in our Bibles. In fact, if we fast forward to the New Testament, we get to a book called Ephesians. It's actually a letter, and it's 6 chapters long, and it's written to a brand new baby church in Ephesus. And this church, it's full of all brand new Christians. And the writer, he wants to tell them some important things about God. And so he starts off the first 3 chapters, and he talks about how much they're loved. They've been adopted. God has grace for them. Their sins are forgiven. I love the way he says it. He says, God has so much grace for you that he just lavishes it on you. And then at the very end of chapter 3, he says this, and this is amazing. I love the way he says this. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to get it, to grasp it. I need you to understand how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is for you. I need you to know you have been rescued. God loves you so much more than you could ever even imagine." In the first 3 chapters, God loves you, God's rescued you, God loves you, God rescued you. And then the second 3 chapters, chapters 4 through 6, the writer begins to tell them about the rules. And he says things like, hey, you guys are stealing from each other. Listen, you're followers of Jesus now. We don't do that. We don't steal from each other. Hey, I've heard, somebody told me that you guys are lying to each other. Hold on, listen, it's really important to me that you know that as followers of Jesus, we don't do that. We don't lie to each other. Hey, it's come to me that you guys are driven by greed and driven by lust, and I want you to know, listen, you are followers of Jesus, and now we don't live that way. That's not how we operate. That's not what it looks like for us. First 3 chapters are about rescue. And then he goes on to talk about the rules. The rescue comes first. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and you're here or you're watching on one of our campuses, I'm going to ask you a really hard question. The question is this. As you think about the people in your life, the people who don't yet know Jesus, friends, coworkers, maybe neighbors, maybe other family members, as you think about them and as you bring conversations to them, are you bringing them the rescuer, or are you in the habit of just pointing out the rules, critiquing their lifestyle, critiquing their choices, critiquing the way that they live, or are you in the habit of bringing the rescuer to them? Because we have been rescued first. The rules come second. And maybe you're here, you're watching from our campuses or online, and this has been the thing that has been tripping you up forever. You aren't yet a follower of Jesus, but the thing that keeps you from moving forward is that you just don't have it together yet. Like, you got some things you got to iron out. There's some areas of your life that you need to get a handle on. There's some things that need to be fixed. And you just don't feel like you're comfortable taking that step of trusting Jesus yet. Listen, I want you to know that's okay. But listen, if you had your life in order, why would you need to be rescued? If you had all those things fixed, you wouldn't need to be rescued. And if that is starting to click for you right now, like right now, it's starting to make sense, and you are moving towards the idea that you need to be rescued, and you're open to the idea of Jesus rescuing you. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to push pause on the sermon. We're going to come back to it here in just a second. But before that, I want to pray for you. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus for the very first time. And those of you who already trust Jesus, I want you to be praying too. Pray for the person in the row next to you who doesn't know Jesus yet. Maybe the person in front of you or behind you who doesn't know Jesus. Pray that they would have the courage to take this step of trusting Jesus for the very first time. All right, let's pray together. God, we come to you and we acknowledge for the first time that we need rescue. We need you to rescue us. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We can't fix it. We've tried our hardest and it's not working. And God, today, for the first time with open hands, we say, God, please rescue us. Please rescue us. We acknowledge, God, that you lived a life that we couldn't live. You died on the cross for our sins. You took on my penalty, my punishment. And God, I'm so thankful that you did. And God, right now, here in this moment, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are God. So thank you. Thank you for rescuing me. Amen. Hey, if that's a prayer that you just prayed, you're a follower of Jesus now. And we want to celebrate that with you. And so there are people up front here who would love to pray with you at the end of our service, or there are people at our next steps right outside at any of our atriums who would love to come alongside you and help you take any next steps as you start this journey trusting Jesus for the first time. Okay, unpause the sermon. Back to the sermon. You've been rescued first, rules second. And the question that we need to ask is this. If we've trusted Jesus, well, what does that look like? How should we respond? What should our lives look like? Well, that brings us to the second observation that Moses has, and it's this. Respond second. Rescue first, respond second. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. So he said, love God with your heart, your soul, and your strength. That sounds like pretty much everything. Moses is saying, you need to love God with everything you've got. Love him with everything you've got. How do you respond to this rescue that you've experienced? Love God with everything. Give him everything. I live in a neighborhood, and in my neighborhood, during the summer, at least once a day, sometimes twice a day, we will be in our house and we'll start to hear music coming from outside of our house. And it's the same music every single day, sometimes twice a day, and it's coming from this right here, the ice cream truck. It comes by our house. And we have lived in the same neighborhood since our kids were babies. And so they know what the sound, what the music from the ice cream truck means. I mean, when they were little, like 4 or 5 years old, they would be doing something and they'd hear that music. They would drop everything, run to the door. Dad, dad, mom, ice cream. It's the ice cream truck. Can we please get some ice cream? And I love my kids. I want good things for my kids. I want to make my kids happy. But listen, ice cream every day or ice cream twice a day, their teeth couldn't handle it. My wallet couldn't handle it. So we had to say no. We had to say no a lot. No to them often when it came to ice cream. And they're devastated. And now my kids are all in high school. And there's something along the way that changed between 4 and 5 years old and high school. Because now they'll be doing some homework, or they'll be shooting some basketball hoops, or they'll be watching TV, and they'll hear the sound of the ice cream truck coming down the road, and they won't respond at all. They don't drop anything. They don't come running to us at all anymore. It's kind of like It's kind of like something inside of them is now numb to the sound of the ice cream truck. And nothing's changed. It is the same song that has been playing from that ice cream truck over and over and over again. The sound hasn't changed. The music hasn't changed. They still remember the taste of ice cream. That hasn't changed. But there's something in here that they just don't care that much anymore. And I think there are two types of people here in the room today. There are some of you, you hear that Jesus has rescued you and you drop everything. I mean, you remember the shame. You remember the hurt that he rescued you from. You remember the addiction. You remember the emptiness that he rescued you from. And you are like a five-year-old in front of an ice cream truck. Your heart is racing. Tears come to your eyes. It means everything to you. And you're immediately, you're filled with joy and life and hope and love for the one who rescued you. And then I think there are some of us in the room, and we think about how Jesus has rescued us, and it's like background music in our lives. It still matters. We still know that it's true. But if we're honest, our faith is just, it's grown a little numb to rescue. We've found that it just doesn't really mean that much to us anymore. We still believe it. We still come to church. We're still engaged. We still remember the taste of what rescue was like when we first believed. But if we're honest, it just doesn't mean that much to us anymore. And Moses says, when you remember that you have been rescued, it should bubble up inside of you, and you should respond with love, everything you've got. Everything you've got. Your heart, your soul, your mind, everything. And when we say those words, you love God, everything you got, how do we do that? What does that really look like? Well, actually, Jesus gives us a really clear answer to that question. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, then keep my commands. So he's saying, rescue first. Rescue matters. And the rules, they matter too. We need both. They both matter. And so if Jesus here is saying how we show love to God is by obeying these rules, what are these rules? How do we really follow these rules? What do these rules really look like? And that brings us to the third part of our conversation, and that's this: relationship always. Relationship always. Let's take a second. And let's just look at these rules. We have them listed in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And here's a list of the 10 rules, the 10 commandments. Here's what they are. Number one, don't have other gods. No idols. Don't misuse the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder. Don't sleep with someone you're not married to. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't desire other people's stuff. Now, you read through that, and it could just feel like this jumbled list of a whole bunch of different things and doesn't have any particular order or rhyme or reason to it. But here's something I want you to notice. It is ordered, and there is a rhyme and reason to it. And here's what I want you to see. If we take the first four commandments, don't have other gods, don't have any idols, don't misuse the name of God, and keep the Sabbath holy, is the idea that you would take one day a week and say, hey, I'm going to rest because I believe that I don't make the world spin, but he does. And so it's this idea that we're going to reflect on who God is for a day. These all have to do with God. These first four, they're all about this vertical relationship that we have with God. And then if we jump into number 5 through 10, here's what those ones are. Honor your mom and dad. Don't murder. Don't sleep with someone you're not married to. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't desire other people's stuff. These ones, they all have to do with how we care for and respect and love and honor the people around us. And so the first four are like this vertical relationship that we have with God and how we show God love. And the last ones are how we show the people around us love. And I would go even a little bit further and say it this way. How we love God should be reflected in how we love the people around us. And how we love the people around us should reflect how much we love God. Let's just say it in a really, really simple way. You ready? Let's say it this way. Want to love God? Love people. You want to love people? Love God. Love God, love people. Love God. Does that ring any bells for anybody? Does that sound familiar to you? If it does, that's because it's something that Jesus said. Here's what we read in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is teaching a crowd, and in this crowd, someone from the back hollers out and says, "Hey, Jesus, which of the Ten Commandments, which one's the most important? Like, which one should we focus on? Which one's the most important?" And here's how the conversation goes. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, and he said this, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so Jesus is saying, which is the most important? Okay, I'll tell you which is the most important. Only the ones that talk about how much we love God. And only the ones that talk about how much we love the people around us. In other words, all of them. They all matter. They're all significant. They're all important. And so as we think about this and we think about the way Jesus responds here, I just have a question for you. Who in your life would you have the opportunity to show how much you love God by loving them? Who in your life do you have an opportunity to show you love God because of how you serve them, how you encourage them, how you're honest with them, how you love them, how you come alongside them? Who can you love? And that would be just a direct correspondence to your love to God. My kids, my oldest, they're twins, and they have a summer job as lifeguards. And they work at a community pool, and this pool has a big, deep end, and it's got this massive water slide. And my kids love their job. And they're working almost every single day. And so throughout the summer, I would be at work, and they would be lifeguarding. And then I would just all of a sudden get this text on my phone. And the text would look like this. It would say, "Hey, Dad, I just got another save. Hey, Dad, I just got another save today." And maybe it was a little kid who fell into the deep end. Or maybe as a full-grown adult who jumped in thinking that they could swim and were a stronger swimmer and keep their head above water, but they couldn't. And they jumped in, they pulled them to the side, they helped them out of the pool. And they're lifeguards. They were trained. Don't ask any questions. You jump first, you rescue first, you save first. And we worship a God who jumped first, who rescued first, who saved first. And then as he rescues us, he gives us these laws, these rules, because of how much he loves us. And he knows us. He knows what we want. He knows what we need. He knows what will hurt us and what will destroy us. And he gives us these laws, these rules, because he longs for them to be life-giving. He longs for those rules to be put in place in our lives because he knows what's best for us. And so Moses, he makes these three observations about the laws, the rules, the Ten Commandments. First one is this, rescue first. Maybe this week, take 5 minutes and just talk about your rescue story. Maybe write out your rescue story. What have you been rescued from? And if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, maybe just ask the question, am I ready to be rescued? What would Jesus rescue me from? And I'm ready to take that step. And if you are, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Second, respond second. Are there areas of your life where your love for God and your obedience to God, they aren't quite matching up? And you can be more obedient and follow more of these rules and laws to show and reflect how much you love God? And third, relationship always. Is there someone in your world that you could serve, care for, love, respect, tell the truth to, because it would show how much you honor and love God? Moses brings these laws to the people. And I just believe that these laws are so good for us. These laws are life-giving because we worship a God who rescued us and brings us these laws because of how much he loves us. Well, I have an opportunity to pray for us before we leave today. So I'd love for you to stand, and I'll just pray a blessing over you today. Hey, and by the way, next weekend, we're going to work through Joshua, and our senior teaching pastor, Aaron Buer, he's going to be back, and he's going to guide us through that conversation. Let me pray for us. God, we're so thankful for who you are. Thankful that you rescued us. Thankful that you jumped first, rescued first, saved first. And we're so thankful, God, that you brought us these laws, these rules, because you care so deeply about us. They're life-giving. You know what's best for us, and you long for us to live the best possible life. So God, today we trust you with our lives, and we trust you with these laws. And God, help us take steps in the right direction to honor you. And we pray this in the name of the one who rescued us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next week.